So before I start the message properly, I want to clarify something, okay? Because as you've been seeing and hearing, and probably you heard most of your life, we'll be teaching about the word blessed. Not blessed, but blessed. And in English, they are both spelled the same way, but in Greek, which is the language that the New Testament was written on, they mean different things. The word that is usually translated as bless is the word in Greek eulogio. And it means to be blessed or praised. But when we read blessed, is the other word in Greek that is the adjective makarios. And the closest translation will be, oh, so happy, or someone characterized by happiness. So Jesus' first recorded sermon or teaching to a large crowd, what we know as the Sermon of the Mountain, he starts different sentences and teachings with that word, blessed, which will be makarios. Jesus said that these things will make you blessed or, oh, so happy. And to treat them properly, we will need certainly more than 1 week. For example, the first three says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, and blessed are the meek. All three of these were about attitudes, right? So Jesus said that what makes us blessed is having the right attitude in relation to God, in relation to the world, and relation to each other. And that will be a message on itself. But this morning, we're going to look at the rest of the list, and these aren't about attitudes, but instead, they are about actions. I cannot tell you how many times, you know, in different ways, I have had conversations with people that just discount the biblical teaching, the gospel, saying that they know that God wants them to be happy. So they equate happiness, whatever makes them happy, with their purpose in life, and they kind of discount the message of the gospel on those terms, because we know that once we accept the gospel, once we call Jesus our Lord, he literally rules over our lives, and what he says goes, right? And that sometimes does not go well with some people. So I have had the conversation many times, and you know, it's funny, because when people know that, you know, I'm a Christian or that I'm a youth pastor or whatnot, they feel like they know what I'm going to argue for, so they tend to do a monologue, right? They argue both sides of the conversation, and I'm just there like, all right, listening. Because, you know, sometimes people don't really want an answer. They just want to justify themselves in what they're doing, right? So sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes I don't even know what to tell people when they approach the conversation that way. But I don't know if you have ever noticed how many bad decisions happen because people are just trying to be happy. How many people are willing to do whatever it takes to make their New Year's resolution to be happy happen? How many futures have been destroyed by people going after something that they thought would make them happy at the moment? How many people have been left in financial ruin because they thought that one thing that they did not need it and that one thing that they could not afford would make them happy, only to find out that it was a curse? How many people have had their reputation tarnished or their careers ruined because they thought that if they could just out-achieve everyone else, no matter the cost, they would be happy? How many students have jeopardized their goals and potentials because they thought that getting that score or getting into that school will make things better, that will make them happy? Or closer to home, how many great Christian leaders that people follow have fallen from grace because they stopped looking for God's will and they started looking for what makes them happy? My good friend Greg Steer, he's the president of a national ministry called Dirty Share. He sat me at his office one day. We were just talking, and one of these announcements has just came out. His name, he's very difficult name, but I know he's the grandson of Billy Graham, right? And he had this in Florida church that was big. He was very influential. And the morning just before my meeting with Greg, he was found to be, you know, cheating on his wife, basically. So everything crumbled down. So Greg sat down with me and said, hey, you have to guard your heart. Because everybody is at risk of falling this way. There is something more important that you're working towards than your happiness. There is something at stake here that people don't seem to grasp when you are trying to follow God, when you're working in ministry or just as a Christian. So happiness is not the end game, right? So if you are ever in a conversation with someone like the people that I have described, that they just want to end the conversation, but no, I just want to be happy. Why won't you let them be happy, right? I advise you to tell them that happiness is a result. Happiness is what happens later because of doing the right thing now. Happiness is not a quick fix, and it's not immediate. Happiness is a result. And this is exactly what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. One of the reasons that the Beatitudes seem so ironic or counterintuitive is because in the moment, they don't seem to result in happiness or blessedness. But that is the point. Blessedness is the byproduct of living as God has called us to live. When we have several of these to go through, so let's look at how Jesus called his followers to act so they could be blessed or also happy. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So after this statement on attitudes, the first thing that Jesus tells us about actions is that the result in order to be blessed, you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when I hear this, I kind of think about the Psalm 42, verse 1, when he says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Can you just see the thirsty animal looking for something to drink? Jesus said that if we seek righteousness hard and diligently, like our life depending on it, we will ultimately be blessed. What is the right thing to do is the question we should be asking in every scenario, not how much do I have to do or what can I get away with, but what is the right thing to do. Our greatest regret in life do not start with asking what is the right thing to do. No, our greatest regrets in life started when we thought we could get away with doing the wrong thing, or when we knew what was right and decided to do what was wrong instead. We will all love to go back and change things that we have done, but no one says, oh, I wish I could go back and do more wrong things. Or I wish I could go back and do more mistakes. No, we wish we could go back and do the right thing. That is why Jesus said, blessed are those who seek out the right things to do. Oh, so happy are the people that go out of their way to do what is right. And this is hard. Cutting corners or doing the bare minimum seems like the thing we would like to do because it's much more easier. Looking for loopholes or technicalities to let us off easier. But that is not what makes us blessed. And it does not make us happy with ourselves in the long run. Next, in verse 7, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And sometimes for us to understand a point, we need to look at the counterpoint or the other side of the coin to understand it better, right? So in Matthew 18, Jesus helps us with this when he says, then the master called the servant in. He says, you wicked servant, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Blessed are you when you give people a break, when you let them off the hook, when you treat them better than they treat you. Have you ever known a really happy, bitter person? No. Of course not. We think that we need to hold on to make sure we get an apology, that we feel that we are owned, or to get payback for that jab. But that does not make us happy. That doesn't make us blessed. Have you ever known someone who had experienced a horrific thing and had been mistreated, yet we see them as truly happy? Chances are that was a person who had learned how to forgive and show mercy. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who give people exactly what they deserve, and blessed are those who keep an up-to-date record of who has wronged them. God certainly didn't do that with us. Think about it. Think about all those times that we have twisted the truth or lied. Think about all those times, maybe in the past, where you have taken stuff that is not yours. Think about of those times that you use God's holy name as a curse word or just disrespectfully. You stomp your thumb with a hammer, and instead of saying something, you know, a bad word, you use God's name. But God certainly do not give us what we deserve. He treats us with grace and mercy thanks to Jesus' sacrifice. Next, Jesus dove into a topic that we all need to hear about. And he says in verse 8, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How would you like to have a clarity or insight to know where God was leading you? How would you like to see both the world and your life as God sees them? It starts with purity. Seeing God is synonym of having an intimate knowledge of an acquaintance with Him. Do you want your relationship with God to be closer than it's never been? Purity is the pathway that God uses to allow us that closeness. And it's obviously moral purity, but it's also much deeper than that. It is the freedom from hypocrisy and deception. Purity is a topic that comes up a lot when you're working with teenagers. And usually the question I get is like, how far am I allowed to go? Or how close can I get before it is a sin? The pure at heart ask a very different question. It says, they ask, how far from sin can I be? Jesus went on in verse 9 by saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. God is all about making peace. That is why he sent Jesus to make peace with us. And one of the missions that we have as his people, the church, is the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, the Apostle Paul writes, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God has called us to be peacemakers. We are to do all we can to facilitate peace between people and God. And how do we do that? Mainly by sharing our faith, by sharing the gospel. Some very important church leader not long ago was addressing a group of high schoolers, and he said not to share the gospel, to respect everyone's belief. And what I say to that is that if you look at it closely, the biggest problem that we have as human beings is our enmity, our separation from God. And as far as I know, all other religions in a nutshell say, do try and try harder to earn your way to heaven. And Christianity is the only one that has paid the debt through Jesus Christ to take us over there. I don't know how many of you have been in trouble with the law before. I haven't, but I've seen enough TV shows and movies to know that when you are guilty of a crime and you are in front of a judge, you have only two options sometimes. Pay it yourself with time in jail and whatnot, or pay the bond, pay the price to get out of there. When you and I and all your friends and all your family are in front of the judge of the universe, guys, you only have two options. Pay yourself and receive the punishment that we all rightly deserve, or accept the payment that Jesus had made for us. Imagine that you're in that courtroom and someone comes in and say, I will pay the price that he needs to pay. The judge can be both just and merciful because someone already paid the price and let you go free. That is what happens when you trust Jesus. And he's the only one that offers that. So sharing our faith with people is the main way we can be peacemakers between God and people. But we are also called to make peace with people. Have you ever known someone who really loved to stir the pot? Someone who just loved getting others to fight? Or have you ever known someone who doesn't feel like she's really leaving unless she's arguing with someone? Have you ever known that someone that was feeding you gossip just to see how you would react towards someone else? How happy are those people? Jesus said that we would be blessed if we were agents of peace. And take a look around. The word needs agents of peace. The last of the Beatitudes seems to be the toughest for me to grasp. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How can you be happy when persecuted? How can you be happy when you are insulted and slandered? I think it comes down to this. There are people who are not going to like you. Some people will dislike you because you do the wrong things, and some people will dislike you because you do the right thing. And I think it's much better to be disliked for doing right than for doing wrong. But people won't like you, but you can like yourself. You can know that what you did was right even if others didn't like it. Jesus added that you will be in a pretty good company if this happens to you. You won't be the first and you won't be the last to be mistreated and disliked for doing what is right, but you will be blessed. And I keep going back to those conversations that I'm afraid I'm going to keep having with different people. And I believe that God wants, people that said, I believe that God wants me to be happy. And I have to tell you, those kind of people are not happy. Doing what they thought would make them happy has complicated their life in so many ways. But in a way, they're right. God wants each of us to be fulfilled and content in Him. And He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be oh so happy, but he gives us a very clear pathway towards happiness and blessedness. Blessedness happens as a result of our actions lining up with God's plan. Blessedness happens as a result of our actions lining up with God's plan. Let me tell you something. If you've been walking for a while outside God's plans, it's going to be rather uncomfortable. It's not going to feel like you've been blessed at all. But if you're really honest with yourself, you know you need it, and you kind of deserve that being uncomfortable in the process. But God promises that you will be blessed and He will be with you. So let me ask you, are you happy this morning? Are you blessed? Would you say that you're someone characterized by happiness? Blessedness is a result of following God's plan. So if you are not experiencing the blessing of being blessed, maybe you need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Maybe you need to be more merciful and let someone off the hook or give them a second chance. Maybe you need to see how close to God you can be instead of how close you can get to sin. Maybe you need to go out of your way to make peace and embrace the ministry of reconciliation to which God calls you. Or maybe you need to be okay with the consequences of doing right because others have suffered them as well. The truth is, guys, that God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be this kind of happy. And He has shown us exactly how to do it. The question that remains is, are we willing to have our actions line up with His plan? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning, this last Sunday of the year. God, we do want to have a blessed year. God, we do want to walk, line up with your will for our lives, God. Help us, because you know we're not strong enough. Help us, Father. Guide us. Remind us, Father, what you say, how honest you are telling us what to expect on the way. But remind us, Father, that you are with us. And if you are with us, who can stand against us? Give us the strength, Father, to work with all of our strengths, depending on your grace, towards a blessed new year. Holy Spirit, take control of the lives that are gathered here. And bring this prayer to God, because you're the only one that can do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.